Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Rise to Win and Power to Be You fans. This is Sandra Bueno, and I am speaking to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, which is right in the same area and location as where I televise or I have my show on Blog Talk Radio. And today I'm coming to you after the presentation with Pastor Alex Bess, where he spoke about truly what is missing in the lives of people, and most especially in the lives of our youth. Our half-an-hour show today is going to be devoted to really sharing with you a part of a reality and truth from my perspective of what I am seeing, because my intention is really to bring about awareness and change in our community, in our society, but also especially in the lives of at-risk youth and the grassroots children who are right now being challenged with just so much of real life and situations taking place. So I will not be presenting a guest today, because I'd rather follow up on Pastor Bess's words and also give you an example in this life of life from this area of our nation. I just returned from meeting with a guidance counselor from the school that suffered a tragedy last week. Last week, Wednesday, a 15-year-old girl shot and killed another 15-year-old girl in the hallway of their school, and this was the school. And what has taken place is basically, while one child is no longer with us, the other child is now in custody. She's in jail, and obviously lives all around have been affected, and lives, again, will never be the same. So for me, with my real desire to go to the school and be able to speak to the youth directly and help them figure out what right now this situation means to them, and also what it is that they can take out from this to go forward with empowerment and with purpose and with vision. And right now I am unable to go there, because obviously there's a lot of other things that I need to take care of from the angle of working through the education board, et cetera. So it's that's one situation. And the other situation for me now is, okay, how do I get to these youth who are in desperate need to have options and to have solutions to their feelings and their emotions and their beliefs and just their worlds that's really being thrown upside down? So having gone there and spoken to the counselor and spoken to another person who was actually outside and who was able to relate to me a lot of that mood that has been taking place throughout the week amongst the youth, I was able to get a picture of what we need to do going forward to really bring about change and transformation. And to just add on to Pastor Bess's words, God is such a focused part of our lives, and once God was removed from the schools and was removed from, and the prayer was removed, more than just a word and more than just an image was taken away. And I believe that it is because of this that youth are finding it very hard to really relate to where they are in life. Without having awareness and a belief about our purpose in life, about who we are, about where we're going, the circumstances behind our actions, and the consequences of doing good and doing right or doing wrong, then we can't gauge our behavior, we can't gauge our decisions, we can't gauge the consequences. So that is such an important part of really being able to bring to the forefront that right now I am working through it in my own in my own mind to figure out a solution where we can help, where we can bring people together, where we can speak the truth, where we can bring about solutions, and where we can move forward so that we can equip our kids to really be those images of leadership and the images of people who really care for the for their own development and care to make a difference in the world and care for their brothers and sisters. So this, to me, is really a such an important part of where we are. And I hope that you can see this, can see through me, and really come and join me. You know that I've begun the movement, the Rise to Win for Our Youth movement. You can go to Rise to Win, R-I-S-E, the number 2, W-I-N.com. And there, just sign in, making sure that I have your name, that I have your email address. And this is how the movement starts. This is how we get things going. Change is going to take place at a grassroots level. It's going to take place with those people who are wanting to make a difference for their lives, the lives of their youth, the life of their grandchildren. We need to do it. We need to step up, because if we do not, then we are all in this together and we are all responsible for what's going to happen 20, 30, 40 years from now. You know, if you go and you Google 8-year-old kills, just go into that and see what comes up. See what's taking place around our country. And we are the quote-unquote leaders of the world. We are the superpower. How can we call ourselves a superpower when we are allowing this to happen? Children are a reflection of who we are. And, you know, right now I feel it so fervently, because we are sitting here, and because of fear, or because we are more concerned with our own well-being, or because people are afraid of what's going to happen to their well-being and their lives and their homes and their cars, we are not saying what needs to be said. And I will say that for me, it is like Pastor Alex Best said, are we more afraid of other people than we are of God? That truly comes down to, are we doing our duty as human beings to love one another? And what are we doing to help each other? This is my purpose. My purpose with Rise to Win is to draw that line in the sand and to say, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? I'm not really interested in people who are part of the problem, because obviously we do have issues and we do have problems, and this is not about focusing on the issues, it's focusing on the solutions. And the solutions is to step up. The solutions is to say, collectively we can make a difference. If you have a church, you have space. You already have the hearts of people. You already have a venue for faith and for hope. You have a light in that community. If you have a church, chances are you also have a van or a bus that can help transport children and parents and adults to your center. There are plenty of people that I know and that are located throughout the entire nation who come from personal development, who come from their own ability to have risen above their challenges, who have designed programs, who see visions beyond and above what we are currently experiencing, who want to come and who want to provide their services, who want to do it even at a giving level where they can contribute, because we're all in this together. And if you want to really serve yourself, you've got to serve others. Selfless service is what will enable us to really define who we are and really find out what we're about. And this is where we put faith into practice, because if we are doing God's mission, then He is there supporting our path. That has been my life. That has been my experience. My experience has come as a result of me believing in a higher purpose to serve and to do good, not just to do good, but to really transform people. It won't happen if I stay in the confines of my home or if I am not willing to put myself out there and risk. And risk I have been doing. I won't go into the veracity behind my conditions right now or my financial situation, because it is beyond beyond what anyone would want to be in. But I will tell you that there's a dichotomy, because as much as I am so fulfilled and so emblazoned with knowing this purpose and knowing that I can go into a school and say, yes, I can help these kids. Yes, I can come in and bring a renewed spirit and renewed sense of hope and a renewed purpose of who they are within themselves. And I can really say that from truth and from experience and from insight and knowledge and tools that now they can take, not just words, but actual actions and experiences that they can now own. To say that and to say it with such validity, knowing that the purpose is to make a difference in their lives so that our world can be a better place, so that in 40 years from now, when you and I are old and gray, we're not sitting there lamenting because the kids who are now our rulers are not doing what they should be doing for the betterment of people. Because 40 years back is where we are today. So again, I say, this is the line in the sand about saying, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And I want to read something to you that I actually got out of the wall at the school. There was a couple of letters that were put up as part of the shrine to the victim, and it's quite touching. It's quite touching, and I'd like to share this with you. Your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You've stripped away our heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Now gunshots fill our classrooms, and precious children die. You seek for answers everywhere and ask questions why. You regulate restrictive laws through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we need. And the person who wrote this wrote on top of the paper, God has gained a precious angel. I don't know if that touches you, but it touches my heart. It touches my soul. Because I don't really think that God's intention is to have kids dying at 15 years of age. Kids who have a whole life in front of them. Or to have another child have such difficulty within their own ability to handle their emotions or to know their sense of self that they have to resort to taking somebody else's life away as a cry for help. This is the reality of where we are today. And talk is not going to solve it. What's going to solve it is a renewed sense of who we are as human beings, of who we are as parents, why we bring youth to this world, of who we are as men and women. That just because we've suffered in the past does not mean that we have to continue suffering in the future. That with change comes possibilities, that with change comes frustration, that with change comes opportunity and challenge. And a defining moment in our life where we can step up and say, I am more than this. And I demand more of my life. I demand more of myself. We are not equipped to deal with challenges or to deal with problems in an empowered way. Most of us are always told, stay away from trouble. Don't get into trouble. Don't go down that way. Be careful. Be careful. So when finally something comes that doesn't fit the paradigm of what we expect, then all of a sudden we're in crisis mode because we have no way to cope. We have no management skills. Well, those management skills are available. They are available to each and every one of us. You have to want them. You have to go out there and seek them. But they are available. Other people have taken it and learned it. These are skills that are taught. These are practical means through which we behave and alter our behavior and alter our choices and our decision-making abilities. And as a result, we get different results or different evidence that then challenges us to say, okay, how do we need to go forward now if we want to have a different result? But that is just the practical. Where it really matters is the spiritual. And without something bigger than who we are to lead the way and to be a guiding force in our lives, then we can never, ever have completeness or fulfillment in our lives. Or even be willing and able to cope with the challenges because we have nothing bigger than us to help us get out of it. While they take prayer away, here is a child putting God in, explaining it and saying it. They are saying it. Where is the logic in that? This is just really hitting the core. Because if we could say that after today there's no more crime and we wouldn't hear these stories again happening, then we could say, well, that was just an isolated incident. Unfortunately, we know that's not true. We know that this is going to continue happening. And just because youth get a bereavement counselor to come and ask them how they feel or help them for that moment, it doesn't mean that the child doesn't take that away with them to their bed, to their heart, to their view of the future, to their sense of who they are, their identity, their sense of possibilities, their sense of dreams and of hope. These are the lingering effects that with time couple and grow and create even more of a burden and even more pressure. And then 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, when now they are adults, all of a sudden a trivial situation in their lives just unleashes a whole slew of realizations. Or a person gives up, or a person can't cope, or then the person has a child and can't relate. Because there's a whole history before that person of situations and events that continued happening and were not really resolved. A band-aid was placed upon it, but the wound was always there, and the wound never healed because it never saw air. Here's another letter, and it says, "You danced your way to heaven." Amanda, who was the youth that was killed, she was a dancer. And here's a letter from a friend of hers. "Dearest Amanda, from the day we met, I loved you. You are my sis, the one that I could run to. Now that you are gone, I can't go on life without my baby girl. It just opens my eyes to the real world. So as the days go on, I will be dreaming of you, my Amanda. I will never forget the day when you taught me how to dance ballet. You showed me that you have to have a passion with it. You will always be in my heart. Now that you are gone, no goodbyes, just hi in the afternoon. Amanda, I love you with all of my heart and soul. From days in elementary school, until yesterday morning when we said hi and see you later. I love you, baby girl. I love you always." These are hard things for youth to have to be living through. Situations that can be avoided. Circumstances that don't have to be. I remember when I was in high school and I witnessed a fight between two girls, and it was the most violent fight I saw. And in this scenario, one girl took the other's head and rammed it against the pole. And as soon as she did that, she went downward and bit the girl's chest and bit a part of the skin off. That was as violent as I saw a fight. It was years back. Today, one quivers just thinking that if there's a fight, at any given moment, another person can take out a knife. Another person can take out a gun. No one's immune to it. Whether it's an 8-year-old, a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, 45-year-old. All of these crimes are happening all around. Just last night, a 76-year-old man was brought in because he raped a young girl. Someone who had lived in the community for 25 years, whom everyone knew. 76-year-old man. Where do you take this person and you give him jail for life, or you take the 8-year-old that killed his father and the father's best friend? How do we deal with that? Now, I'll tell you that we can deal with it. When we're sitting there in a state of confusion, is because we don't have the resources to deal with it. When you undertake the learning that's available, when you are willing to step up and do what it takes to grow, to become resourceful, to gain knowledge and insight, to be able to serve yourself, to serve others, then you're no longer in a reactionary mode. And you no longer have to wonder, how am I going to deal with this? How do we deal with this? You actually come up with solutions. You come up with options. That is the gift that we have as human beings, to resolve problems. No problem is too great when you have faith, when you have hope, when you have resources, when you have a vision of something bigger and better, when you have a conviction for your life. When you see how things can be better, we're not animals. We were not just put on this earth without a purpose and a reason. But if we fail to step up to God's creation of who we are, then we throw it all away. And we allow circumstance to dominate who we are and what we are about. For me, I am just so keen on breaking through the challenges and the limited thinking and the in-the-box ways of what is imposed upon society, that this is where true change can take place. When people recognize that there are options, and when we recognize that if we're all in this together to make a difference for our own future by coming in and helping youth, then we can let go of our own views, and we can let go of our own prejudices. We can let go of the limiting ways through which we filter information. There is so much at stake here, and we have to just come up to the awareness that we are in control. We are either in control of accepting, or we're in control of changing and moving forward. And really being a legacy of change. Go back in time and look at those leaders whom we love and adore, who shaped our society, who shaped our freedom, who shaped our beliefs through what they did. When they stood up and they made a difference for others. In the process of serving others, they made a difference for themselves. We are all challenged. Every one of us is challenged. But when we couple our lives with a purpose for God, then He's there, keeping us under His wing. That thought alone brings solace. That thought alone brings comfort. That thought alone brings inspiration and motivation. If He is with us, who can stand against us? That is a David and Goliath moment. How can we overcome what's taking place? I know that when I think of a child being hurt, when I think of a child who's alone in a home, sitting on the floor with an adult standing above them, ready to do something to the child, whether it's sexual or whether it's physical or whether it is mental, whatever is going to take place to that child, and I think of that child's face, it inspires me to rise up above any challenge that I can have, any fear that I can have, any limitation that I may perceive in front of me, or any limitation that anyone will place before me, to say, this is my purpose to make a difference. And this is why I'm talking to you. Because we all have that power. And that power is going to come when we all stand up together to make a difference, to believe in our own purpose. You have your own purpose. You have your own gifts. You have your own voice. And change is going to take place at a grassroots level. Rise to Win for Our Youth is that movement. Rise to Win for Our Youth is that place. Come January 17th, I will host a one-day personal development youth coaching seminar for at-risk youth. 1,000 youth are going to be attending this event. This event is going to take money. This event is not going to take place if I leave it upon the hands of educators, of the education board, or in the hands of specific individuals. This is going to take place because people are going to make it happen. It's going to take place because of people who want to see change in our society and in our community. And the best way that it's going to take change and it's going to take place is when everyone participates and calls it their own and says, I am a part of this and I am bringing this forward. And it's through my efforts that this was actually created. And now kids can be inspired and can be moved and can be given an opportunity to recognize that they are more than their circumstance. They are more than the challenges with overgluing their life right now. And then once we do it here in West Palm Beach, we will take it across the world, across the nation. Across the nation first and then the world. And across the nation is already enough. Because when these kids rise up, they're going to realize that their purpose is to serve the rest of the world. Everywhere around the world, our kids are needed. Our kids have it within them to step up, to become those leaders, to be able to go to these countries and say, you know what, you guys don't have to live in this impoverishment. You guys don't have to live with this abuse. Let me show you what I've learned myself. Let me go to Africa and teach these kids. Let me go to Africa and change the political system. Let me go to Africa and help people build dreams. Build an infrastructure, build communities, build homes, build schools, build society. Let me go to Guatemala and help my fellow men grow and develop, create new industries. Let me go to Colombia and share with people what's possible. Let me give people an opportunity by bringing what I've learned myself how to do. These are our at-risk youth right now. They are the future of the world, and we must equip them with that. We must step out of ourselves and do what it takes, and that will come with education, but not your typical traditional education. It comes with you being willing to put yourself up online and do what it takes to change, to call your own shots, to look at your integrity, your character, to look at the way you've been doing things, and to say, what must I do different in order to have success? What must I do different in order to grow to a different level? That's what personal development is. when you think about what's on the other side, when you can say that our kids can finally find a voice where they have maximum impact and where they grow out of the limitations that they've had, then that is the gift. So go to risetowin.com, become a member, join me, become a partner, and let's together make this year be an amazing time for change. Tune in tomorrow at 12:30, or excuse me, at 12 o'clock, with Rise to Win, Empowered to Be You. This is Sandra Bueno, signing off.